Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for Banal of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, no comparison, my friend. Sorry, a little distracted there. Welcome back to another edition of Banal of America Audio. Here it is, season 10. We had sort of an unexpected break there after William Zabel. We needed to catch our breath, folks. Let's be honest. We needed to catch our breath after that marathon conversation with William Zabel, and then it was my birthday, and I was just swept up in a whole bunch of stuff I'll tell you about at the end of the show. And we wanted to be back last week, but our guest was under the weather, and I wanted to bring our A game here because, as I said in the build-up to the show, our guest is Kendall Carver of the International Cruise Victims Organization, and you know, we've done a lot of shows over the years, folks. We've done just over 300 shows easily now, I think, at this point. And of all the shows I've done, I guess, I don't know if I'd say this is one of the proudest shows I've had, but I think it's one of the ones I hang my hat on the most is our conversations with Kendall Carver. You know, like a lot of the great, memorable, and just truly amazing BOA Audio guest, he's someone who I stumbled upon by accident and was just completely blown away by his story and by his work. And, you know, as I said in the build-up, I think it's I think he is one of the most important guests we've ever had on this show. Not only has he testified before Congress about issues concerning cruise ship passenger safety, but, you know, I mean, I don't know about our show, but certainly through his work, I mean, lives have been saved through this stuff, folks. I mean, he's raised awareness about these issues, and I mean, I don't have any doubt that lives have been saved through the work of Kendall Carver, and hopefully more can in the future, because and people who hear about what we're talking about, at first they're often like, what is this stuff? What are you, like, what are you, crazy? No, folks, this is serious stuff. This is dead serious stuff. This is stuff that you need to know. If you've never heard Kendall Carver on the show before, by the time this show's over, you're going to be like, whoa, this is really amazing. And if you've heard him before, chances are you're definitely tuning in, because every time we've talked to him, it's been absolutely riveting. So welcome back to the show, Kendall. You know, this is my last season of doing like a week-to-week show, and I said this to a lot of guests coming on the program this season, and I mean it especially for you. I wouldn't be doing a final season. I had to have you on this season, because as I said, you're one of the most important guests we've ever had on the program, and your work is so important. And when I was putting together the list, you were right at the top of the list. I was like, we got to get Kendall Carver back on the show, because his stuff is just so mind-blowing and thought-provoking and worrisome and troubling, and hopefully hopeful in the future if we can make some changes here on this. So welcome back to the show. I hope you've been doing well. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Tim. We did our first show, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, Kendall, longer than that, because I was just looking here at the, I don't have it up, here it is. Yeah, we last talked, I can tell you now. We first did our first show in 2012, so, wow. Yeah. And that was the first time I had talked to you, because I was looking to talk to somebody about initially sort of like, you know, mysterious disappearances. And then I came upon your daughter's story and your work, and I was like, what is going on with these cruise ships? Like I'd always kind of had a fascination with it, but I didn't know anyone was actually working on this issue. And then when I found out about your organization. We had that initial conversation. I was completely blown away. And then we actually talked. I was looking it up. The last time we chatted was back in July of 2014. That was right after the congressional hearings on cruise ship safety. So of 2014. I'm sure you probably recall that. I think that was with the people specific sort of, I don't know what you could, victims of poor cruise ship safety were testifying before Congress. You recall that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's been, well, it's been almost 4 years. It's been 3.5 years since we've talked. And the last time we chatted, and we'll sort of bring folks up to speed in a little bit, but I personally want to get an update on this because I'm surprised. I could have sworn we had done a show after this, but we apparently did not. Now, last time I heard from you regarding this, I mean, we talked on and off about other stuff, but was that they, let me see where I have this now. Congress passed the Coast Guard reauthorization bill in bipartisan fashion. Included in the bill was a provision that one of several cruise passenger safety provisions in the Cruise Passenger Protection Act was in there. So that was back in December of 2014. So I guess to bring us up to speed on what's been going on in the meantime with that, because I'm kind of selfish in a way. I've had you on the show a couple times. I've talked to you all this time. I'm relatively up to speed on all this, but I really want to get an update on where things stand right now on trying to get some of this legislation passed.
Well, that's an interesting question, Tim. First of all, we passed the original bill in 2010. And that was really historic. There were only 4 votes against it in the House and the Senate when we passed that bill. Now, you would think, at least I did at the time, you pass a bill, hey, that's it.
Right.
You got it all set. Well, it doesn't quite work that way. Then you got to get the regulations issued. And it doesn't take weeks or months. It takes years to get the regulations issued.
Yeah.
And year by year, we make a little bit more progress. Some of the bill was put in effect. Other parts were not originally. But the last 2 major items that were put in effect, and I think you were referring to the one in 2014.
Right.
Thanks to Rockefeller, crimes were not being reported as they should have been to the public.
Mm-hmm.
FBI was taking a position. They were only reporting crimes that they opened and then closed. Well, the FBI might only open 10% of the cases, and if they don't close them, they're not reported.
Right, right.
So in effect, in a given year, we might get only 15 total crimes reported for the whole industry. Well, that was totally out of sync with the intention of Congress and those people that wanted full disclosure. So thanks to Senator Rockefeller, and I'm going to say this, we owe him a lot. He held additional hearings in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress has changed
yeah.
since 2010. You know, if the Republicans want something, the Democrats don't want it, or vice versa.
Oh, yeah, they can't get anything done. They can barely keep the government running.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Regardless of what your politics are, it's like fighting like cats and dogs.
Yeah, it's crazy. But he said, we are going to get that provision changed. Well, Rockefeller was chairman of the Commerce Committee, and the Coast Guard had to pass a reauthorization for their expenses for the year. And Rockefeller said to the Coast Guard, unless this is included, this complete disclosure as originally intended, I'm going to hold your authorization. Tim, that went to the last day the Senate was in session. He held their authorization for funds to make sure that there was a disclosure of crimes as originally intended.
Yeah.
Now, there aren't many guys that would do that, and there aren't many guys that had the power to do it.
Mm.
But thank goodness for Rockefeller, he did it. So what's been the result of that, Tim? Well, if you go and Google Department of Transportation cruise line crimes, the reporting of the crimes has now been shifted to the Department of Transportation away from the Coast Guard. And you'll find not 16 crimes in a year. You'll find maybe 100 or more crimes. A more accurate summary is put out each quarter. So if somebody wants to go to Google Department of Transportation cruise line crimes, they can now bring up the actual crimes for this past year and also what ships they're on, what cruise lines they're on.
Right.
Now, the report's not perfect, but it's a giant leap forward to go from 16 reported crimes to more than 100. And the 100 crimes doesn't include everything. In other words, if you're robbed and it's less than $10,000, they don't have to count that.
Right.
If you're groped as a woman, they don't have to count that. But rapes are counted. It's a much broader definition.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because of Rockefeller, that report is now available to the public. In fact, I just got the report for the end of the year. We're going to put together the change. So to go from the number where it was, which is worthless, I didn't even look at it, to the current number is a much more meaningful number. And people call and say, what cruise line has the most crimes? You can literally figure that out from this report.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm not going to put it out today, but it's the largest cruise line has got the most rapes and the most crimes.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I'm looking at an article here. It was linked from, and we should definitely give some of these websites. InternationalCruiseVictims.org is Kendall's website, or the website for the International Cruise Victims. He's the chairman of the organization. And I'm looking at an article here linked from the ICV website, which is October 6, 2016. So we're talking about not last October, but the previous one, so about a year and a half ago also. And it says here, this is from USA Today, oh no, AZ Central. It says the number of reported sexual assaults on cruise ships jumped 550% in the first 6 months of 2016, going to 39 from 6 in 2015. So clearly the reporting of these crimes changed, and I think that just scratches the surface, because I think it probably got more refined in 2017 as far as reporting goes, right?
Well, we hope.
yeah, exactly. But, you know, that's just, it's troubling that these, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, people don't, unless they've heard you on this program or have seen some of your appearances on, you know, TV shows and stuff like that, they, chances are, have no idea of the danger of these cruise ships.
Well, in fact, let me just add something to that number that came out of the Rockefeller hearings. A third of the sexual crimes are against minors.
Jesus.
Not adults. We're talking about minors.
Hmm.
And we're trying to get that pulled out separate so people realize when they take their kids on a cruise ship and turn them loose, they're turning them loose onto an island that has no police, and you have predators, and the kids are turned loose. But a third of all the sexual crimes, and this came out of the Rockefeller hearings, are on minors. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty troubling. It's absolutely pretty troubling. Has this in turn done anything to sort of like change the way the cruise lines do business now, at least, because they're under the gun being watched, if you will?
The answer to the question is a little bit, and it's putting pressure on them. But let me tell you, they are not, I don't know how to phrase it, bending over backwards.
Yeah.
To get this information out. And that's been the job of ICV. If it weren't for ICV making this information available, nobody would know it. We'd be back where we were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But ICV, if you look under our website, under ICV News and Updates, you'll just find a tremendous amount of press that we get. And that's what's told the story. So that, you ask somebody today about cruise lines, they say, oh, I've heard about crimes on cruise ships. Well, that's a big jump forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I never forget. I think we shared a laugh about it because Jay Leno made a joke about the ICV one night.
We've been very fortunate on the press.
And here's another number that should shock people, okay? So this is from the same Arizona Central article. It says, for example, FBI records obtained by the Cruise Victims Association under the Freedom of Information Act showed, get ready, folks, 563 crimes were reported aboard cruise ships in 2011. Those include 11 deaths, 28 rapes, 57 sexual assaults, 64 sexual contacts and other sex offenses, 253 assaults, 126 thefts, and 16 thefts of more than $10,000, and 8 people going overboard. So, I mean, that's what you don't see that in the commercial, folks.
Well, you don't, and a cruise ship is like a floating city.
Right.
You know, you got the people that make the cruise ship work, and you got the passengers, and you got the people that clean the rooms and things. But what you don't have are police.
Right, right, right.
And I just want to add that Senator Blumenthal has joined with us in the Senate, and he introduced legislation this past year to require outside police on cruise ships, as you have on an airline. Airlines have air marshals,
yeah,
and they're carrying 200 people. Why wouldn't you have the same on a cruise ship?
Now, do they ostensibly have security, right? Because somebody in the chat room mentioned this, and I actually saw this on the news, I think it was yesterday or maybe it was the day before, and it might have passed your desk by now, I'm not sure, but about how some family was acting rowdy on a cruise ship, and there was a huge brawl, and they caught it on video, and, like, in the video, you can see, like, the security guards are, like, threatening to punch people and sort of running around, you know, going crazy and grabbing people's cameras who are filming the fight and everything. Did you hear about this thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was happening on a ship to Australia.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
10-day cruise. People locked themselves in their room.
So there was security on the ship, but then
there's always security on the ship. There are security officers, except they have no authority. They work for the cruise lines.
Right, right.
And if there's a fight like this, clearly they try and stop it, but they have no authority to put the person in jail, as a policeman would have.
Yeah.
And investigate it. The rapes on minors, hardly any of them are ever prosecuted. And you know why?
Why is that?
Because they don't want to, and this is the answer I've gotten from the FBI, they don't want to tag the person that did the crime what's the term when you're going after minors? There's a term for it, victims. And they carry that the rest of their life. So they don't want to pursue these things.
They don't want to like persecute the pedophile or whatever?
Yeah, no, they don't.
That's just weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But we keep working at it, so.
I mean, it's the whole thing is just really upsetting. And I think, like, as you said, I think part of the reason why your organization, you know, is sort of more awareness keeps growing is because, like, if people like me talk to you, in turn talk to their friends in the media and get passed along. I know the first time I talked to you, I picked up the phone right afterwards and I called Coast to Coast. I was like, you got to get this guy on your show stat because he is doing tremendous stuff. And you did. You were on Coast to Coast later. So it's like when people hear about this stuff, they turn around and tell their friends and family and coworkers about it, I think, because it's stunning.
Yeah,
it's really stunning.
And really, Tim, let me say this. A show like yours, and we've done, you know, we'll talk to any journalist. That's the way we have moved forward,
mm-hmm.
are the stories that get out.
Yeah.
And when journalists look at this stuff, there's only one answer. I've never had a story turn negative, like, you know, who are these people? It always turns out positive because they see the facts.
Yeah.
And they're stunned. And this is not just here in the country. It's around the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, it's really, you know, it's It's really remarkable. Now, I was going to ask you, for some reason, I should ask you this now while I remember it, because I might forget it later in the show. You know of any, incidents on those, river cruises in Europe?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. How about a river cruise in Peru?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. I'm not that brave, Kendall.
Well, having talked to you,
the prospect of a river cruise in Peru sounds absolutely terrifying.
Well, there are river cruises in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And this couple, the guy was a professor, I think, at the University of Nebraska. He and his wife took one on a, quote, brand new ship. And guess what? The guy had a CPAP machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought in electrical cord. That cord caught fire, and this couple burned to death.
Oh, God.
On this river cruise. And you know what the defense of the cruise company was?
What's that?
It was something called Death of the High Seas Act, which is a U.S. law passed in 1920 that says if you die and you're a minor or an adult on a ship, you cannot claim damages. Lawyers won't even take the cases.
Yeah.
It's a law that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I remember we talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, this family, the two daughters, just really took them on. And I don't know if they've gotten a settlement or not, but they said the river flows into the Pacific Ocean. So it's part of DOSHA. This ship didn't leave the United States. It didn't go to the United States, but they tried to apply a U.S. law to avoid any liability.
How could they even do that? Because the boat was chartered in the United States or something?
Well, it was chartered.
Well, because they were U.S. citizens? What was the rationalization for that?
Hey, I'm not smart enough to know the rationalization.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, no. Well, they got slick, fat cat lawyers, I'm sure.
They do, but here's a couple who lost both parents. And you talk about angry people. When they found out this American law passed 100 years ago, it was the defense of not going after the cruise lines for some type of benefit. It's insane. And the Death of the High Seas Act continues to be a problem. If you get sick on a cruise line and you die and it's their fault, you can take no action because of this Death of the High Seas Act. Well, that's insane. In other words, let's say, Tim, you get on an airplane in Miami. And let me go back to about 1989.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Pan Am, had an airplane that blew up off the coast of Long Island.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yep.
Well, they were under the Death of the High Seas Act, under the same law. And so the victim's parents could take no action. Well, they were able to change that law for airlines. They were able to take enough action, but the cruise lines fought it. And they avoided making the change. So here's what it says, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
You get on an airplane in Miami, and you fly to London, and the thing blows up. You can take action because they avoided this law. You get on a cruise ship in Miami, go to London, and the ship blows up in the middle of the Atlantic. You can take no action because of the Death of the High Seas Act. It's insane.
So they changed the law for if you were on an airplane, but they didn't.
Now, we have a bill pending right now in Congress that cruise ship passengers would get at least the same rights as an airline passenger.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, sure, it makes sense.
A lot of things about this whole story make sense. That it's shocking, you know. I guess aspects of the story make no sense because what the right thing to do is, seems almost never is what happens. So it's really strange.
I mean, in addition to the sexual crimes, the Death of the High Seas Act continues to be a major problem. But let me tell you about we just put out a press release yesterday.
Yeah.
It'll be if you look on our website, you'll find it. And in 2010, our bill said if there are man overboard systems
mm-hmm.
on cruise ships, not if that it said there should be man overboard systems on cruise ships if they're available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are companies that have man overboard systems, but the cruise lines would always say, well, they're not tested, they may not work, et cetera. Well, I became involved with the International Organization for Standards, the ISO, and they just put together the standards for a man overboard system for anybody.
Right.
So the excuse that the cruise lines have used now for 7 years to avoid putting those systems on, and they're not expensive, is gone. Now the question is, will they do it? I mean, the law says they have to do it. And with having the ISO, and we had members on that committee, finally set international standards for it to be done. That is a huge development, because I don't think people realize about every 2 weeks somebody goes missing on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Right, right.
About 8 hours later, they call the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard goes out in the Caribbean, might spend up to $1 million looking. They never find the person.
Yeah.
But this will tell them exactly when they go off and where they go off. And the cruise line should have done this voluntarily. But they didn't, you know.
Right, right. I mean,
and
just
still not doing it.
Yes, exactly. And just to, yeah, to sort of like encapsulate that to people, I'll sort of give it to them, you know, in my Dusty Rhodes Common Man style here. But it's like 2010, you guys passed the bill requiring, or the Congress passed the bill requiring, you know, these man overboard systems, and they dragged their feet for 7 years saying that there weren't any, because what were the standards? What was it going to take to get it done? That's insane.
But
like, so people who listen, they hear those stories like, oh, they passed a law. You know, oh, they passed a law for this. Yeah, they passed a law in 2010, and they're not even, they won't do it. They won't comply with the law, you know, and they have all kinds, like I said, these fat cat lawyers and stuff working for them who I'm sure find, like I said, found all kinds of loopholes, and were like, well, there's no standards. How are we supposed to put in a man overboard system if we don't know what it has to meet for standards? So then that takes more years. It's absolutely, it's maddening. I remember saying that to you the first time we talked, and it's sort of ringing a bell tonight. It's just maddening.
This is really historic for the ISO
mm-hmm.
to put this out last week. We've just put out a press release on it. That's a major development. So just to kind of back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we not get reporting of crimes. Is it complete? I don't know. But at least it's significantly more than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
We now have standards for man overboard system, which eliminate any excuse for the cruise lines not to do it. They'll put on water slides, they'll put on all kinds of stuff, but something that might save a life, they don't want to spend the money for.
It's, yeah.
It's insanity.
It really is. Now, what's the, I'm sure you follow this closely, like what's the state, I guess, of the industry right now? Are they, because, I mean, you're getting more publicity more and more all the time, and it's like, you know, so I would assume, I mean, look, I ain't taking a cruise. I thought about it in the past. That's why I was asking about the European riverboats. We'll have to get back to that later and find out if you know of anything there. But what's the state overall of the cruise ship industry? Because, you know, I noticed, just not even aside from talking to you and seeing you out there, you know, there's just incidents all the time, it seems. They make it in the news more than they had when I first started talking to you. So it's like people are becoming more and more leery of cruise ships. But for all I know, they could be raking in the money and doing better than ever. So what's the sort of status of
the
industry?
Well, I would say it's probably the latter. Tim, you know, here's what they've done. They've gone to China, and they've gone to countries that really didn't have cruise lines.
Oh, God, that's terrifying in and of itself.
So
I don't think China's going to be too keen on putting regulations in the sea.
They shifted themselves to these other countries. You know, and while our law affects U.S. Cruise ships that come and go and U.S. passengers, it doesn't affect European people.
Right, of course.
So they're fair game. They've really seen no improvement. Our ultimate goal is to get these laws passed worldwide and not just in the United States. But we have an obstacle, Tim.
What's
and the
that?
Obstacle is a trade association called CLIA that will spend whatever it takes to avoid any new laws.
This is like the lobbyists of the cruise ship companies.
It's their trade association.
Yeah.
And you know what their argument is, Tim? Their argument is we're highly regulated. They go to Congress and say we're highly regulated by an organization called the IMO, International Maritime Organization, which is part of the UN. Well, I attended a PowerPoint presentation given by the IMO, and I have that presentation. Guess what? The IMO says we do not take any legal action against crimes on cruise ships. They write regulations, but then they pass any enforcement to flag states. Well, the flag states are Liberia, Panama, the Bahamas, and they take no action. So, in effect, the organization that CLIA keeps referring to is, hey, we're highly regulated by the IMO. It's a falsehood. In fact, if you go to our website, we just posted an article in the last few weeks by Michael Lloyd, captain. He's on our executive committee. And it's about the ineffectiveness of the IMO and the fact that it's really almost controlled by the cruise lines.
Yeah.
So the regulators don't regulate.
It'd
be like having a police department that doesn't sets the laws. It'd be like, maybe a better analogy, it'd be like the legislature passes a law, but they don't enforce it. That goes to the local police. Well, if the local police don't enforce it, then nobody enforces it.
Right. It's, yeah. It really is crazy. It really is. I'm stunned. See, because I think we've talked now for a long, long time over the last few years, and I think this is the first time hearing about this IMO oversight group. And it's like this gets shadier and shadier the more you hear about it.
Well, go to our website on the left hand column, and you'll find this article we just posted by Michael Lloyd.
Yeah.
Who gets into the fact that the IMO, you know, I don't want to say it's a sham, but they don't do anything to enforce the laws. They transfer that to these flag states. Well, that's ludicrous. That'd be like New York City saying to Melford, Iowa, enforce the laws of New York. Well, a little town of Melford, Iowa, where I grew up in that area,
yeah.
They're not going to do it. They don't.
Yeah, no, it's they just pass the buck and it gets lost in the shuffle, and I mean we're dealing with like so many layers at this point that God forbid if you're one of these victims, folks, you know, I mean put yourself the person getting the call from whose folks have died on the riverboat in Peru or somebody who's assaulted on a boat out in the middle of nowhere, like and then they tell you it's under the jurisdiction of the Bahamas. And the guy, you know, and the guy who did it or whatever is like still on the boat. I mean, it's just a nightmare, man. It's just an absolute nightmare.
Well, I hate to agree with you, but that's the truth.
No. I mean, so what? I think you alluded to this. Maybe you could follow up on this a little bit. Is there motion towards putting some kind of, like, it's just so hard because all these jurisdictions, like, overlap and everything. It's like, how would you put someone who could be, like, the authority on the ship? You know what I mean? Like a security-type situation.
Well, if you situation. Can do it on
an
airline,
yeah, I see
an air marshal, you can do it on a ship.
So maybe the argument is, like, if it's coming out of Miami, you got to have a U.S. team of U.S. marshals on it.
Independent. Policemen on that ship or whatever it takes to, you know, would you go to a vacation to a town that has no police?
No.
You wouldn't do it.
So what is, now you say they have security, but they have no authority, but like what do they do let's say somebody punches me. If I'm at a bar on a cruise ship, and you know, we get in an argument with, I guess, some stranger, and they punch me. Can they put that guy in a little jail, or what do they do? Just send him to his room and tell me to go to my room and file a report with the Bahama police or something?
Well, that, in effect, they may file a report with the Bahama police, knowing that the Bahama police won't do anything.
Right, exactly.
About it.
Right.
But this is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
With the changes that we've gotten in the law, the FBI has agreed to contact that person on the ship within 4 hours once it's reported to them.
Ah, okay.
And the individual should not give to the cruise lines their information. Because let's take the case of a rape.
Mm-hmm.
Woman's rape. So she goes to security in the cruise ship. You know what the security in the cruise ship does? They write a report, and they find the guy that, in theory, did the crime. He said, well, it was consensual. So they said, as a he said, she said, and guess what? Nothing happens. No action is taken. But if you go directly to the FBI,
mm-hmm.
which you now have that right, and they're obligated, they're supposed to do it, to report these things directly to the FBI, then it's on record directly with the FBI, and the FBI has also agreed to meet that person when they get off the ship. We've made some real strides with the FBI.
That's great. We need to, like, put a pin on that now and make sure we stress that. So folks are like, you know how they say, folks, like, if you get arrested, you should just shut your mouth and wait for your lawyer. If something happens to you on a cruise ship, you got to immediately be like, I just want to talk to the FBI.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Just put me in touch with the FBI. I don't need to deal with your cruise ship any longer. This guy punched me, and I want to talk to the FBI. I have the right to tell them what's going on.
But you take a woman that's been raped, they're in trauma.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
They don't know their rights.
Right, exactly. That's why it's important that we stress this, because, you know, you might be with a loved one that this happens to or something, you know?
Yeah, well, here in the United States, you have the Miranda rights. You got to give the person their rights, and you got to sign off on it before they can do anything. Well, the person on a cruise ship ought to be given their rights and told what they can do. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And to sort of circle back to my question, applying it either to the rape, the punch, anything, they don't, like you said, the security has no power. They can't really, what can they really do to the person that's accused of, the perpetrator? Like, they just go, hey, dude, this lady said you did this, or this guy said you did that. We're filing a report. They can't be like, hey, you have to stay in your room or anything, right? Or
yeah,
do they try?
Occasionally there's been cases like that where they've confine somebody to a room, but it's more infrequent. They normally go to the person who's committed the crime, and he said, oh, it's consensual, and let me tell you, Tim, that's it. That's where the case ends.
Yeah, and then they're just like, all right, dude, thanks, all right, we had to talk to you, whatever, and then that person just can, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, like, then you're still, like, you're stuck on the ship with this person, folks.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You're both moving around, walking around, you're occupying the same, I don't care how many people are on the ship. Like, I wouldn't want to be on that ship anymore, and you're out at sea. So, I assume for people that this sort of thing happens to, the first stop, they're like, all right, I'm out of here, man. I'm not hanging around on the ship anymore.
Yeah, well, but they're out in the middle of nowhere, they can't get off.
Right, that's what I mean. So, like, the next thing, they stop in the Bahamas and they get off and then they fly home, and it's just, it just talk about the layers of, well, that reminds me. I mean, I've told this story to people talking about your appearance on the show. I think we should talk a little bit about just sort of like it's not just the lack of police and sort of law enforcement on these ships. The medical end of things is really subpar.
It's a nightmare. I mean, if you get sick on a cruise ship, And a lot of times what they'll do, they'll just drop you off at some port in the middle of nowhere.
Right, right.
And you're on your own. But if you die because of poor treatment, which happens time and time again, because of the death of the High Seas Act, you can't take action. I mean, against the cruise lines for malpractice. I mean, you just, house of cards. You can, And you talk about angry people, you know, that come to us that have been injured or beat up or whatever. And take this Carnival cruise to Australia. You know, when you're on a ship for 10 days, you got to lock yourself in the room for protection. I mean, that's got to be scary.
Oh, yeah. If you think you're going on vacation and next thing you know, there's like a rowdy, crazy family that's throwing punches and getting drunk. And yeah, absolutely. It's you know.
I got to tell you a personal story. Back when I was working, the corporation I worked for held a convention in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So they picked up people in New York and Chicago and et cetera. Well, the people they picked up in New York, they got to Chicago, and the plane got delayed. So they started passing out free drinks on the airplane.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, by the time that airplane got to Hawaii, it was a zoo. You know, you start giving free drinks to people, and that's the other thing they're doing. They're not selling drinks necessarily. They're selling packages of drinks.
Right, right.
So you have unlimited. If a bar did that here in the United States,
oh God,
and they overserve, that's a crime.
Is this all like? This is kind of going to take you a little bit off the course in a sense, but like, what does international waters mean? Like, because this stuff isn't covered by that sort of like thing on TV, you know, where it's like, oh, we're in international waters, we can do whatever we want. Right.
Well, international waters means it's outside the legal limit of the, let's say, the United States or whatever the country is. That could be
three
to 10 miles out at sea. So they open up the gambling tables once they get out there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But it's still. But it's not like you can murder somebody and you're like, oh, it's international waters. That's okay. Right.
Yeah. Well.
Is that just like a fairy tale you see on like sitcoms and stuff?
It is a fairy tale if you're a U.S. citizen. Covered under a law that leaves or comes to the United States.
Yeah.
You do have rights. That's the thing that people need to realize. They do have rights, and they need to exercise them because they won't be voluntarily exercised by the cruise lines. I mean, it's a business run for profit. Let me talk about the business run for profit.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't want to say weekly, but frequently, the Coast Guard is out picking up somebody off a ship or looking for somebody off a ship. And they got all kinds of expenses, U.S. expenses, for the cruise lines. Guess what? The cruise lines don't pay income tax. They put their corporation in Panama and Liberia, and they put their ships in Bermuda and those places, so they don't pay federal income tax. They're getting the service for free. Now, Rockefeller really attempted to go after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They've towed ships from Mexico back to the United States at our expense. It costs a few million bucks. But
that's pretty crazy. Well,
to pay taxes in today's times, and they're making money.
Right, right. I want to circle back to one thing I was talking about, because as I said, I mentioned it to a friend or a family member, and I think you can speak to this story, but it was, I believe it was somebody, and I'm sure we covered it in the 2014 conversation, but it bears sort of bringing up again. It was somebody, they have a family on a cruise ship, and the person like had a heart attack or something like that, and they just, as you said, they just dropped him off at the first stop on the thing, and essentially wheeled the woman off the cruise ship, you know. It akin to what would be like an ICU situation or something, right?
Right. They left her at the dock, and then they had to pay to be flown to a hospital.
Yeah.
Cost them thousands of dollars. Then the woman died.
She'd
been treated properly originally, she would have lived. You know, when you see senseless death, and we've had some young families. I mean, teenagers that have died. Recently, and it's really these parents go crazy on this stuff.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, I mean, your story, you know, you're a parent who lost somebody on a cruise ship. I mean, this all sort of circles back to what your story, you know?
And let me tell you this. When something happens on a cruise ship, and I was talking to Jamie Barnett today, and she'd had a call. Something happens on a cruise ship, you feel like you're the only person this has ever happened to. You don't realize that this is all part of the system. I mean, we went 6-7 months thinking Marion was lost and they'd covered it up. And then I read in a book, Devil in the Deep Blue Sea, that was standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
They get the crew member off the ship and nobody can ever find him. And they sail on. And in Marion's case, they denied there was video. Took them 3 years to admit they had a video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. Well, let me give you, can I change the topic just a little bit, Tim?
Yeah, we can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
You got the information. I'm blown away by, you know. I just want to say before you can go ahead and pivot. I'm ready to hear what you want to say, but I want to just credit you guys. You know, because listening to you, having this conversation tonight, and sort of looking at some of these things that you guys have done, it's like this is just such a tangled mess of a problem. So I cannot give you guys enough credit, you know, just for being able to tackle this. You know, it's like we've already talked about how you guys are trying to or have really pushed and gotten this overboard system someday being implemented and the reporting of the crimes. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff you guys, you know, want to have fixed. So it's like kudos to you and the organization for making some progress on an incredibly complex problem.
Well, let me say this. You've really raised an important point. I mean, you've mentioned me, and I appreciate your comments. But this organization would not run without the passion of a lot of people that are on the executive committee or on the board of directors who deal with different parts of making ICV run. I mean, you got books you got to maintain. You got reports you got to issue. When we go to Washington, we took 10 people in last July. Everything was organized. Every call was set up in advance. We have the systems in place. But for somebody to go to Washington, they're paying for that out of their pocket. So it costs them at least $1,000.
Right.
And without that commitment, we have a woman on the Cape. For 12 years now, every day she posts the stories that come up in the news. So if you go to our website, you can see the current news of crimes on cruise ships.
Yeah.
And if she didn't do that, you know, people wouldn't be aware of it. And
right,
operating
right.
This organization with limited funds, that's all I can say. And I can't say enough about all the people.
Absolutely.
That work with us. But once, you know, let's take these two sisters that lost their parents. Boy, the passion that they have. All these victims, when they come in, they are angry that they were treated the way they were treated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
I mean, hell, I'm angry talking to you and just hearing the stories. I mean, every time I talk to you, I get this way because it's like... these are simple solutions that could save lives, and the fact that they don't want to do anything about it. And it's like, then they're not controversial. You know, this isn't gun control, folks. This is, you know, put an air marshal or put a sea marshal on the cruise ship. Like, who is against that? Really? For all the money these companies make, it's not like they're going to be losing money just to pay for the you know, I don't know what you call them, sea marshals or whatever.
Yeah, no. Well, they don't want to do it because it exposes them, Tim.
Yeah,
They want to put this stuff under the rug. And, you know, the people that are victims of the Death in the High Seas Act and can't take action, you don't see those stories because lawyers won't even take the cases.
Right, right.
And the cruise lines, I saw something they put out last week where one of these cases happened. They said, well, we don't need that. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't know how they could say that with a straight face, you know.
Yeah, it's very strange. Was there a direction you wanted to go before I was ICV?
This is just a side comment,
mm-hmm.
Tim.
Yeah.
But if you go on our webpage, and it's www.internationalcruisevictims.org. There's a lot of information on that. I think reporters that get into it are kind of blown away with all the stuff that's on that on our website. And we don't have the money to make it a fancy website. You know, we've been, you know, like stacking a deck with stories, but we don't have the most fancy website. But it's been effective. But a year ago in, I think, April, the Department of Justice gave me the Ronald Reagan Policy Award for 2017 in Washington, D.C., which was a huge honor for me. The honor really belonged to all the members of ICV, but that was really something I didn't expect.
Congratulations. The Department of Justice, what was the award?
The Ronald Reagan Policy Award for 2017.
Wow.
And in fact, if you go on our website, you'll see my picture. If you click on it, it shows the video that they showed and made.
Yeah.
For that presentation.
Oh, I see, yeah.
The National Archives. They had, you know, a segment of the Marine Band there. It was a big deal.
And what's the, I'm guessing from the sort of like, from the name of the award, it's like a public policy award. It was sort of like, is this in recognition of your, of kind of what I was just saying? You and the organization's attempts to implement some kind of policy on these cruise ships where there clearly has, the government had no interest in doing?
Totally. That's what it's all about.
Right. Well, you deserve it, man. I mean, that's exactly what you've done. I mean, the government, if it wasn't for you, for the group, these cruise companies would be allowed to run willy-nilly.
Yeah, they would. And they still would like to do it.
Oh, yeah. They're doing everything they can to just keep doing it.
In some ways, they've seduced some of the regulators. The FBI has made progress.
Yeah.
We have some concerns about some of the other regulators. These regulations should have been put out on our bill 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
They came up with proposed regulations, the Coast Guard. We have a gentleman on our executive committee who wrote a 104-page response to the proposed regulations. That was, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. No comments have come back from the Coast Guard. Nothing. Now, they gave us 90 days to respond, or 60. We did, with a phenomenal report going over each item that needed to be corrected or changed, and never heard a word since then. I mean, that's kind of discouraging.
Yeah, what's the story with, what's that all about? They don't have to respond to you, or are they under some limit, or this doesn't make any sense?
The cruise lines have been very effective in hiring Coast Guard people. If you go to CLIA, it's run by Coast Guard people. And I'm not trying to put the Coast Guard down.
No. I know what you're saying. It's kind of like how these guys bounce from, like, Wall Street to the Department of Finance and then back to Wall Street.
Yeah, or like the, you
know, all the industries that happen.
All the regulators of the banks. When they got done regulating and retired, they went to work for the bank.
Right, exactly. It seems like anyone who's hired by the government to do regulations, they hire from the industry they're supposed to be regulating, I guess, with the idea that they would know it best, but it always turns into some kind of cronyism.
Well, there should be a lag of 2 or 3 years before they can go to work for the company they regulated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, you got a conflict of interest.
That's occurring across the board with all these, you know, I think the FCC, the guy was from Comcast or something like that, or one of those companies.
Yeah, well, they always hire these regulators.
Yeah.
And guys from, you know, congressmen, they go to work as lobby for whatever, you know. And if you're an organization like the NRA, you can pay to get the lobbyists. We can't afford to pay them. We got to take people in with passion and train them to walk the halls of Congress, which is a terrific experience. But it takes somebody with a little bit of guts and willingness to spend the money to do it. But it's very effective. But we don't have thousands of dollars to give out as campaign regulations. We have to go on the merits of our case.
Yeah.
It's like these school kids in Florida. They have no money. Now, maybe somebody will give them some money, but they have a passion. They just lost 17 students.
Right.
They're losing 25 people off a cruise ship every year. You know, it's,
yeah.
And so we've got that passion. We have people die on cruise ships. So we have that passion. But it's like these kids will find, money talks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw today that, I don't know which celebrity, but some celebrity just donated like $500,000 to the march.
Yeah, well, that's terrific.
That's, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want
to
even.
I need to go after them.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the, I was going to say, there's like no tactful way to say this, but it's like, I mean, a high-profile incident would probably, you know, wake some people up to this. You know what I'm saying? That's the sad part. People don't care unless it's all part of this crazy TV, you know. If a celebrity, I guess, yeah, let me put it this way. If a celebrity went missing on a cruise ship or had something terrible happen to them, then I think you'd see a lot of changes overnight.
Well, if a regulator's son got lost on a cruise ship, you might see a change in the tone. You know, you got to feel the pain of the crime. And if they don't feel the pain of the crime, they don't have the passion to do what is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I give these school kids credit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing what they're doing. It's absolutely uplifting.
Yeah, and they're using the press very effectively. They're very articulate. And they probably, you know, might make some legislators change. Yeah, I don't know. But the deck is stacked against them, as it's stacked against us. But we ain't giving up. We're knocking on that door. They know who ICV is. And we know how to get the material to them.
Yeah.
And we just keep doing it. Now, this past year, we went in with 10 people, knowing it wasn't a good year to lobby because nothing is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just the reality of things. But we still did it, knowing that it was important that we be there in their face and not sit back. If you're a victim of a crime, you really got two choices. The choice is do nothing and go hide in the closet or try to do something. Now, the people that are working with us have said, hey, we're going to try to do something with passion. There are other people who say, I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid to go public with the story.
Yeah, they just don't want to relive all that. And they want to just, I understand that perspective.
Yeah, and when I first went public with Marion's story, that's a scary thing to do. We didn't go public, Tim, with Marion's story for 14 months. Nobody knew that she had disappeared. It never made a newspaper. And I think it was through the grace of God, Tim,
yeah,
that I called one person in New York with CNN, and he was working on Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And he very, very nice, but kind of put me off. And so I went to somebody in Phoenix and went to a guy who worked for my landlord in New York City in public relations. And the guy in Phoenix in public relations said, Ken, don't do this. They'll eat you up. The press will eat you up. Well, the other guy in New York said, hey, Ken, it's a story that's got to be told.
Yeah.
I mean, so the easy thing is don't tell the story. You know, just go in the closet.
No.
But when you should see some of the stuff that I get in from victims.
Well, that was something I wanted to ask you about in a sense. Now, we talked about how if something happens to you on these ships, this is sort of advice, I guess, for the listeners. It's like, yes, you can contact the FBI, and you should contact the FBI, but I would say that you should contact Kendall, too, or the ICV,
yeah.
Excuse me,
well,
contact the ICV, you know, and let them know.
Yeah. You know something, Tim? That's exactly a conversation I had with Jamie Barnett. People need to know. There was a woman that called her yesterday, was kind of afraid to call us because she knew what had happened to Jamie. She knew what was happening to me, but her sister said, hey, call this organization. Well, it was a relief to her, you know, to call us.
And yeah.
Because there's an emotional element of being a victim,
mm-hmm,
that you got to deal with. And when you think you're the only one, and most people do, you know, when you realize you're part of a of a worldwide phenomenon, that changes your perspective on things.
Yeah, exactly. It means you're not alone. And it's, that's incredibly important.
Alone. This is, and when I read it in a book, I realized, my God, that's what happened to us.
Yeah.
And here it is written in a book.
If
I hadn't read that book, I'm not sure I would have ever realized it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it just happened. So we encourage people, and we do get, you know, we got a lot of people in the last several weeks and with tragic stories, but I encourage, you know, a lot of times a woman is raped. She's afraid to tell somebody. Well, we have victims in our organization that have been raped that can relate to that person and help them.
Right, right.
We don't do counseling. But the compassion of knowing that somebody else has gone through the hell I've been put through. But a lot of people that are raped, let's say it's a minor, they don't even tell their folks what's happened.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
And it may go for months or years before it finally comes out.
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, something happened to me 5 years ago when we were on that cruise.
Oh,
my God.
And it does psychological damage to them because they suppressed it.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, I'm horrified, like, thinking about that. Yeah, that's just,
So anyway.
Yeah. The organization, you may not be able to offer counseling, but you can certainly offer sort of resources and people that they can talk to in the sense of, like, other people who've been through this. And sort of at least a community, and answers, you know, to questions, you know, that I'm asking you tonight, and maybe that are even more nuanced, like in a legal sense or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like who else would know what you could do if something happened to you on a cruise ship, but the ICV?
Yeah, well, one of the things when we finally decided to go public, what do you do for legal advice? Well, we didn't know, you know, what to do. Well, you know, our organization, there's a whole series of lawyers at Miami Beach that specialize in this. And a lot of times they need legal counsel to take action.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where to go. I ended up calling a law firm in New York City, and they recommended somebody who turned out to be not really a maritime lawyer, but I didn't know the difference.
Yeah, exactly. How would you even know who to find? Yeah,
yeah,
that's what
and,
I mean.
But a lot of times they need professional help, and they may need professional counseling. We have this one woman recently that went, I don't know, 30 years before she started getting counseling and realized the trauma of her being raped as a teenager was the cause of her psychological problems.
Case.
You know, years went by.
Hey, I read something today. The Cruise Victims Association reports that 165 people have disappeared while at sea since 1995. Wow.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Okay, there's a reason right there never to take a cruise, okay? Just the fact that there is a Cruise Victims Association. Okay, that should be a red flag right there.